morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is...
Hola, Paco, ¿qué tal? Mike Cosentino. But we have the real people in the station this morning. They're going to do the real heavy lifting here.
We actually have serious people
serious,
in the station.
Serious.
So we
people.
Can joke around and
we get
silly.
To ask the question that we've been asking annually. What in the hell does the Corporation Commission do?
Oh. So we have...
We only have like 45 minutes to cover that. Right?
Yeah. Jake, so introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. Why are you running for an obscure commission that's probably one of the most important things in Arizona that we have to explain
the
over and over again every year at least two or three times?
Huge
is, well, my name's Jake Bell. I'm running for Corporation Commission. Why am I running for Corporation Commission? In part because I'm from LD24, which is where the Democratic state headquarters is, and there's about seven people running for state rep, and I wasn't connected enough to try to run for state rep. So I decided, what else could I run for? And I saw a Corporation Commission. That's something that where I have an interest and a background in business. I have an MBA. And more important than anything else is the fact that I – I'm somebody who, as a single dad, has had to try to explain to my kids, hey, you know, the thermostat, we need to keep it set at 85 right now, because at least until the 27th, because that's when the billing cycle ends. The Corporation Commission is the most important thing it does is it sets the rates of how much we pay for electricity, for water, and it's something that actually has an effect on so many people's lives.
What, as Corporation Commission, let me just ask you personally, what can you do as Corporation Commission for people of Arizona to help them out?
Well, the number one thing is addressing those rates. First off, first thing is moving forward with rate changes in the future and making sure that rate changes are not smacking people over the head and killing them. We literally have in Phoenix, you'll have reports every year of people who are dying because they can't afford to air condition their homes. We hit 119, 120 this past summer. So making sure that rate changes going forward take into effect the what it's going to do to especially the poorest people in the state.
So he's running for Corporation Commission. Karen, we have Karen McCullen here as the head of DOR and Sedona, been head of president of DOR for several years. And you've obviously invited him to a DOR meeting. And why is DOR involved in trying to get who the candidates for Corporation Commission? Why is it important, in other words, from your political point of view?
Well, it is the one race that people don't know. It has probably some of the most hard, besides the utility rates, they also oversee basically energy policy, or they should be overseeing energy policy for Arizona. We all know we should be a state that uses more solar, more wind, more alternate energy. The Corporation Commission also has all the utilities, which also include broadband providers, water companies, a lot of things. And we all look, and there isn't a real policy in Arizona for the future. So what are we going to do with broadband? What are we going to do about the fact that we're a state in the middle of a desert and we've got water issues, we have electric issues? So the Corporation Commission has a lot of power to set some of that policy. It needs obviously the help of the legislature and the governor to enforce, you know, to really do things. But they've got a real bully pulpit beyond just deciding what our electric bill is at the end of the month, but on encouraging and forcing sometimes energy companies to look towards the future and create a real policy rather than just what are we going to do for 6 months from now or what are we going to do a year from now.
And it's important to remember that it's a statewide office.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we, you know, governor, secretary of state, treasurer, a couple others, mine inspector, but a Corporation Commission is a statewide office. And there's three of you?
Four.
There's
actually five.
Five now. Sorry, I've been here too long. I've been here 50 years. So, yeah, they've gone from three to five. No. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All Republicans now.
All Republicans.
All connected with all
receiving dark money, maybe, from a certain electrical utility?
Well, that, we're not prepared for that show, but the two APS candidates won, and some people feel that there's a certain strong Arizona
and
public.
We invite APS to come on the show again if we're saying bad things about them that are not true and they want to go on the record not done all this dark money contributions to candidate to regulate them. They're welcome to come on and we'll give them a fair hearing, right, Mike?
Just to be clear, it is blatant corruption that you're running against, and at least on from our you have to be careful, I guess. We don't. This is
right.
A partisan show, and when we believe that the Corporation Commission of Arizona, with their APS candidates, is blatant, and they don't care to hide it. It hasn't been, they're out there, so at least they're not deceptive about it. I guess if you're going to be corrupt, at least you're going to be straightforward.
At least you might as well have the big bag of money with the dollar sign on
yeah,
the side.
You well
there you go.
Just
collect slap
it big down time if
right.
You're going to be a crook rather than small.
So just to be clear, that and I'm going to, you're going to clarify this too, that the utility has bought regulators that regulate it.
Well, in the past election, it was $4 million that APS poured into. I'm running as a clean elections candidate. As a clean elections candidate, you collect enough $5 bills, and the state provides you with funding for your election. You get about $100,000 for the primary and about $150,000 for the general if you win the primary. So you're talking about $250,000. APS is going to pour probably more than $4 million into this next election. They poured $4 million into the last one. They poured money into the one before that. I believe it was around $2.5 million. Why? Because they want to make sure that the people that they want regulating them are regulating them. So
and they've been successful in that, right?
Exactly. And that's why right now you have four Republicans. You actually have one Republican who's more libertarian, Bob Burns, who is calling for an investigation. And so he wants APS to open up their books and talk about what are you doing with this money, where is it going. And so that would be one of the first things that we would wind up if we get two Democrats, ideally me and Keanu Sears get in there in starting next January. That would be one of the first things that we can wind up working with them on, is continuing that investigation that was shot down by a 4-1 vote by four guys who got in there.
Jake Bell,
it's
right?
Silly, but I want to invite APS to come on our show and open up their books. We would really enjoy seeing them. And right, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get hurt. They'll beat me. I think these guys have thugs. But Jake Bell is your name, and you're running for Corporation Commission.
Right.
Now, I want to get back to the clean elections things for you, because you'd be surprised how fast 45 minutes goes. You can do 50% of it online?
Actually, clean elections, you can do all of it online.
You can do
50% of your petitions online.
Ah.
But you can collect. And the nice thing about doing it online is you go in, you go to the Secretary of State's office, or you go to jakebell.com. The Secretary of State's office's website. Or you can go to jakebell.com, and there's a direct link right there. It'll take you in. You punch in your name, your birth date, and your driver's license number, and it confirms all that so that then when you give the $5, nobody can challenge it,
right.
Which is one of the things that you always face when you're dealing with petitions and any kind of form, is people will challenge. I can't quite read what name they put here, I can't read that address, or you put in the wrong district, or whatever minor thing they can find.
I want to tell people not to balk at the driver's license number. That everybody's afraid, at least I don't want to say our age group, I'll go with my age group, so I'm probably the oldest here. But the idea is that putting personal information online, although there's nothing that's not online. I do everything online. And I think that's not unusual, even in my age group, but there still are some people. So putting in your drive, this is the Secretary of State's website.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's safe and secure,
right.
and she's got all your information.
And all she's doing is confirming
that's right.
That it matches.
Exactly, that's all I want to say. So it's a good system, by the way.
So as Mike mentioned, this is a statewide office. Are you traveling widely around the state? Obviously came up here to Sedona in Verde Valley to talk about your campaign.
Yeah, and actually that's one of the best things about running for this office is the fact that, in fourth grade, the only F I ever got in school was third quarter fourth grade history. which we had to memorize all the counties and county seats of Arizona, and I failed to do so. And so this is sort of repentance now that I'm having to drive around all the counties and learn all the county seats and learn the political structure.
Well, you'd be happy to know Arizona education is in such disarray. They don't teach that anymore.
Well, yes.
Now, individual schools and teachers do. I want to make sure I get that. Right. Phone calls are okay.
For what it's worth, when I got that F, my dad was so angry because he grew up in Ohio where they have 88 counties. And so the fact that I couldn't memorize 15, he was not real proud of his son.
Huh. Well, it was not important in your life.
So you're traveling, you're talking to people, and I guess, and I probably Karen has talked to you, we want to make sure that the corporation committees takes in consideration the interests of rural Arizonans, not just the cities. We understand that Phoenix is most of the population lives in Phoenix and in the county there, and or down by Tucson. We understand that's the vast majority of the population, but I think people up here would like to understand that you're going to represent our interest as well. Rural, there's some differences between rural and urbanite.
That's why I'm coming up to places like this. I was in Winslow last week, going down to Casa Grande, talking to people from Arizona City, trying to get out to a lot more of the rural areas. I spend so much of my time. I'm from Phoenix. I grew up in Mesa, and I live in Phoenix now. And so when you start running for statewide office, one of the things they tell you is, you know, you're going to have to get outside of Phoenix. And it's sort of a, this is going to be a hassle, but you have to do it, you know. Whereas to me, it feels like when you're in Phoenix and you're talking about the Corporation Commission, it is all APS. It's you put on the blinders and you talk about APS and pretty much nothing else. A little bit of Johnson Utilities, which is another corruption case. Once you get out and you start talking to people in other areas, you start to see all the effects that the Corporation Commission has. When I was in Winslow last week, I talked to somebody from the Railroad Workers Union that I knew zero about railroad workers, and I know the Corporation Commission deals with railroad crossing safety, et cetera, but how does that actually affect people? And being able to talk to people and find out, when I go out, I make a point of, when I'm making a speech like I did this morning, of I don't want to come in and tell you, this is what I'm going to do as Corporation Commissioner. I want you to tell me, what do you need me to do as Corporation Commissioner? Because my perspective in Phoenix is not the perspective that we need statewide. One of the big things you were talking about, rural areas, like broadband is one of the biggest issues in rural areas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Going out and talking to, especially talking to teachers. I made a joke when I went up to Bullhead City. I was talking. And I was talking about the fact how upset my kids get when Netflix buffers for 20 seconds. Mm. And that got I did not expect that to be the big laugh that it got in Bullhead City at the idea that, wow, only 20 seconds?
Yeah, exactly.
How long your Netflix buffers? But talking to people, you know, just Netflix is one thing, but talking to teachers who, they've got kids who can't do their homework because they don't have adequate internet. I was trying to explain to my daughter last week, she could not understand what computers were for before the internet existed.
I think some think tanks and high-tech industry have told people in Sedona and the Verde Valley that they can't come here because our internet infrastructure is not strong enough to further their business,
yes,
and that it is an issue. And I don't know, Karen, what as political people we can do about getting better. See, broadband is about economic development, as Dave's saying, not just about being able to watch Netflix quicker.
Well, Jake mentioned some things I hadn't really thought about, talking like the rural electrification co-ops back in the 30s, and that there's maybe some chance to look at cities and towns and, you know, co-op that systems that might be able to work on the broadband, maybe work on the solar, work on some of these other things, that the possibilities of smaller individual co-ops as startups to provide some of these services in rural areas. That was honestly something I had never thought about.
Yes, it's being talked about, and I think it's a really good idea. I want to just throw a quick anecdote in here, because that's how we run the country. is that standing in front of 30 rabid teenagers as a high school teacher, when you buffering for 20 seconds is 20 hours, because they're just waiting for that. They're going to be good, and they're going to wait, and they're going to do, and then it's going into buffer time, and it's, you know, and they'll give you about 6 seconds, and then, yeah, you get the idea.
Right.
So you, there are five commissioners.
Right.
Corporation commissioners.
And two seats are up for election in 2018.
And we've got two Democrats running, or how many Republicans for these?
Four
seats?
Democrats. There's four Democrats running. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not sure who.
I'm not sure. I only know for Republicans, I know two of them are running clean. I don't know whether there's any others that aren't running clean.
I'm not sure. One of the Republicans who's running is our current House of Representatives, Brenda Barton, in our district LD6, who's termed out of the legislature.
Oh,
so she
gosh.
Is one of the Republicans who's decided to run for the Corporation Commission.
One of the outstandingly bad members of the state House. My gosh. Well, it's a shame to see her leave as our representative, since she's done about as much harm as she can.
Now
she'll go to the Corporation Commission. Oh, my. Yeah.
There are no Republican incumbents. The two Republicans who were the ones that everyone believes were bought and paid for by APS 4 years ago, one of them is running for state treasurer, and one has accepted a job with the Trump administration in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
so there
great.
Are no there's no Republican incumbent. It is an open seat.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mike, what's your take on
it? What we used to say to try to explain the Corporation Commission. Although I think Jake did a good job, that in other states, and now we can say in another time, in a history of, you know, a place long, long ago.
Far away.
It wasn't far away. It was right here. But it was a Utilities Regulation Commission. You know, and we believed that public utilities were supposed to work for the public, and we had a commission, a state commission in most states, that sort of a watchdog organization, and has since become a cheerleader for the utilities that they're supposed to be regulating and watching.
And that's disturbing, because our Corporation Commission is a lot more powerful than most states' corporation commissions or their equivalent institutions. And so the greater power means one, they're of more interest to special interests, shall we say, but also that they actually have more power than, say, you know, I don't know, from Oklahoma, for say the Oklahoma Commission and stuff. So,
also, it's one of the only states. This is one of, I think there's 13 states that we elect the commissioners.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's appointed positions.
Yeah.
So it is something that typically, it is a cronyism kind of thing. You're getting appointed by somebody, and you are more than likely in somebody's pocket, or you owe somebody favors. We're one of the states where that's not supposed to be the case. We are supposed to be advocates for the people, not for the utility companies. And the utility companies have figured out, if we pour enough money in, then we get people in there who are the advocates for us. And it's really flipped the Corporation Commission on its ear away from what it's intended to be.
Yeah, Arizona was once a very much progressive state. The rules about initiate petitions and electing the Corporation Commission all go back to the early and middle years of Arizona, where it was a progressive, populist state in the sense that they wanted people involved, and they did everything they could. And so things like a Corporation Commission are elective, where in other older states, really, they were not.
Well, just being able to buy elections. I mean, you know, the framers of the Arizona Constitution, as you said, were progressive had learned from, as the 48th state, had learned from the other 47 about all the things they didn't want to do, and really put together a nice little package that's, and in the last, I'm going to say, 10 years, has been subverted more than ever. The rules are still there. The Corporation Commission being an elected position is a really, really good idea. As Jake said, that we're talking to Jake Bell, by the way, running for Arizona Care Corporation.
Also, he's running clean, Mike, which
he's
is another
clean.
Good thing. So he's not beholden to anybody.
Yes, and then what is clean election? Well, and the other thing that we have in Arizona that they don't have in a lot of states, we're still hanging on. It was better, but we're not going to, we need to talk about that someday. But he's running as a clean candidate because he can, because we have this mechanism set up. He explained a little at the beginning of the show, but he's going to collect $5 donations. He's going to get a small pot of public money, which, as you can see, when we have, a lot of times we don't always go the full explanation, that by getting this small pot of public money, he's not beholden to anybody like APS or SRP.
Well, and you're forbidden from being. Once you sign the paperwork and you say, okay, I'm going to take these fives, the most you can take from anybody is $160.
There you go.
You can, and that's only from individuals. You can't take money from corporations or from super PACs or any kind of union, anything like that. It has to just come from individuals. And so once somebody gives you $160, it's a lot different than somebody going out and I'm going to have a $10,000 a plate banquet and, even if only 10 people show up.
It's a token amount to show support, which is what it should be. Once again, we're proving the point that the Arizona creators said, and including the creation of this Clean Elections Commission, in that they saw how bad it could be other places. They said, here's a way to fix this. It was a really good idea, and still is a good idea.
We have less gerrymandering because of the election. I think, Karen and Mike, that the people have really forgotten Arizona's progressive, populist background. Like, we've forgotten our history, and now all we see is Republican right-wing kind of crazy stuff.
What's Jake's third-grade teacher wasn't very good.
And not all these things are that old. The Clean Elections Commission and the Citizens, the Redistricting Commission, were votes of the people in the last couple of decades. Can't remember when, but 15, 20 years ago, the voters of Arizona voted to create the clean election system so everybody could run for office, and a redistricting commission so the legislature wouldn't draw boundaries for districts that benefit only themselves. So we have, that, and those are relatively recent.
Just to explain, the redistricting commission, if you're going to bring it up, was two Democrats, two Republicans, and a chair, an independent. Yeah. And they chose the independent as chair, I guess.
I'm saying the voters of Arizona are still more progressive than the people who have been elected to represent them.
So there are solutions to these problems, and Arizona, believe it or not, as we pointed out, was sort of leading edge of some of those solutions with its Clean Elections Commission, with its publicly elected corporation commission.
But they found ways to corrupt it. I think people don't know. People really don't know about early Arizona history, the role of the federal government and the military in creating Arizona and protecting native folks, even compared to what some of the settlers wanted to do to them. So we just have forgotten a lot of that. Karen, if you had just a few words to describe the Corporation Commission, how important is it compared to, like Mike mentioned, other statewide offices. I know there are five. There's one governor. There's one secretary of state.
Yeah, well, the Corporation Commission has a lot of power and it's regulations. It has a lot of power to enforce regulations. A former set of Corporation Commissioners did set a policy for solar generation, that in a certain period of time, so much energy had to come from solar and alternative energy. So they have the ability to do that. The Republicans elected since then have backed off on that. And my recollection is some of those people were Republicans who were in favor of that solar generation.
Some time back.
Yeah. Yeah, they were elected, and then that was a big issue, and they went for that. And it's backed off since then. A lot of the other issues, they have a lot of power to bring things to the front and work with the legislature. A corporation commission working together with the legislature and the governor could do phenomenal things for the state of Arizona, for the future of our water and our energy issues.
So, Jake, in terms of the things that Karen's raised, like solar power, but also, let me add in, wind power, what can you do and what do you plan to do if you get your druthers and your, that's a really old word, on the Corporation Commission?
Well, for starters, just working with the guys who are already on there there's an understanding. We need to start going solar. The question now is more about the fact that The utility companies want to make sure that they keep their claws in their customers. The increasing availability and accessibility and affordability of solar winds up giving people independence, and that hurts when you're a utility company that's reliant on this many customers paying this much money to provide this much profit for me. If I lose that, that hurts me. So ideally for me is getting in there. I don't think the solar train is not something we're going to be able to stop. It's rolling, and people are understanding that's the direction we're going. It's making sure that it's aimed in a direction that benefits everybody.
Let me ask you this. I got to interrupt you, Jake, only because this is a real issue. So, have they already, here it is, 2017, and I understand exactly what you say. They want to control their customers. They don't want you to have rooftop. They don't want you to be Germany and have all this power and have the storage in your garage and have all those batteries in there. They want to be able to send you a bill that you got to pay, even if it's from their solar arrays down in the Gila River, wherever.
Right.
So have they already done that? Here it is. Like I said, it's 2017. SolarCity was going crazy for up to a year ago, putting arrays on rooftops, having this lease thing going on, so you didn't have to have $15,000 to buy solar panels. And then it all came to a screeching halt for lots of reasons. Now I don't know the reasons.
A lot of those reasons are in Washington. A lot of those reasons are.
But some of them are in Phoenix.
Yes. Well, no, but a lot of the reason is there were grants out there that were provided by the Obama administration that once we wound up having Republicans take over the House and the Senate, a lot of those things frittered away. Mm. And what's happening, I don't know about up here, but I know door knocking in Phoenix right now. When you go and you're knocking doors to try to get petitions signed, hi, I'm Jake Bell, I'm running for Corporation Commission. I've had more than one person open the door and say, are you solar? No, I'm not trying to sell you solar panels. Okay, then I'll talk to you. I guess one of the grants is going to run out, I believe, mid-January. Mm. Maybe it might be just the end of December. But apparently there's a big push now of SolarCity is out there trying to get as many people to sign a contract as possible before this grant runs out. So that's where a lot of it was going. But what you were talking about, the not allowing you to have the batteries, making sure that you're leasing your roof space for their solar panels, things like that are ways that that the utility companies try to figure out ways to make sure.
Oh, all the childish things. Once again, a personal anecdote. I'm sitting there looking at my solar panels and my inverter and the switch, the on-off switch, waiting 6 weeks for APS to tell me to turn it on.
Yeah.
In other words, my solar panels are producing electricity, but I couldn't use any of it because APS made you wait 6 weeks. I think somewhere in a contract they had 6 weeks, and they waited every day of those 6 weeks before they would come out.
So, Mike, how has it
flipped
out?
Switch?
You have at least solar panels on your house.
I do.
Has it worked out for you? Have you saved money?
I have saved money. I worked out great. I'm even without the storage capability. Yeah. We live in Arizona. So the minimum charge for APS is $14 now, which has gone up from $5, by the way. Because I'm still grandfathered into something, since I had mine since 2013. But and that keeps going up for people that keep coming along, and that's one of the reasons. One of the things Corporation Commission wants to do, or at least APS wants the Corporation Commission to do, is make that minimum charge higher. But yes, it's worked out great. The solar lease, I am paying for a solar lease, to be full disclosure here, and an electric bill. But my electric bill is small enough that the solar lease is well worth it.
So
I hate to be a shill here for SolarCity.
Personally, it worked for you.
It personally worked for me, absolutely.
And I know that there's further sabotage of all kinds of renewable energy going on in Washington, and that there are plans to undercut support for it. It's fairly systematic. You have people in charge, unfortunately, from one fellow from a native Oklahoma who has been basically a paid actor for the petroleum industry his entire career. almost all of his funding comes from it. You have real extreme people who are even trying to silence all the scientists. You've got a guy who has hired companies to watch his own employees so that they don't, mm-hmm. so that nobody tells anybody what's going on. They won't allow you to use certain words anymore at the EPA, for example, but also at these other agencies. Right. There's a systematic attack on the language and the way we think about things, not just trying to get office, but something beyond that.
I want to, yes, and those are all, each one of those is a show and we can talk about for the next, and I, if we're allowed to, I think, quite frankly, I'm a genetically predisposed to depression and ugliness. I think it's all over. I think we're a fascist state. But I want to say Jake Bell is running for Corporation Commission right here in our studio in Sedona, Arizona. But there are two things, Jack, and I say that I've been saying this lately only because I'm such a cynical guy. Because the politics have gone to hell in a handbasket. There's only two things that matter, and it's name recognition and money. You got any of those, man? I mean, can you work that out?
Well, I guess that's the end of this conversation.
All right. Well,
no.
Next week.
Look, you're going to
well,
be...
So I actually, Jake Bell... It sounds a lot like Jay Bell, who was a shortstop third baseman.
There you go.
Good.
We're going to say you're related here.
You're
a cousin.
And when I started my first, when I was a journalist, my first TV job was in Yuma. And when I came down, I was the sports reporter down there. And everybody always said, Jake Bell, that sounds like a sports reporter name. That sounds good. So, no, we've got that. And actually, that's one of the things that is kind of coming up in this race is like Kiana Sears worked at the Corporation Commission for 10 years. She's a wastewater and water rights specialist.
Extremely knowledgeable,
exactly.
Hands-on experience.
Yes. She's
and
forgotten
really
more.
Knows water. We did an interview with water back and
right.
forth and
she's
forth
forgotten
and back.
More about water than I'll ever know.
Yeah. But if she's on there with you.
But well, and exactly. That's I need her to be on there with me so that I can turn to her half the time and say, so what are they talking about?
That's great.
But it's the two of us, and then we said there's Bill Mundell and Sandra Kennedy are also running.
Yeah,
and
great candidates, by the way.
Sandra was
both of them been on this show.
Okay, Sandra was on the commission a couple of years ago. Yes. Bill was on there. He was appointed as a Republican, and he was on there. They have the name recognition from doing it.
That's right.
But at the same time, I feel like there's a movement right now that people are sick of career politicians.
Yep.
They have name recognition, but in a lot of cases, a lot of politicians who have name recognition, you know, Chuck Schumer has name recognition. There's a lot of people who hate Chuck Schumer. There's
a guy who's president. What's his name?
He has one.
Mitch McConnell.
He has his name. Oh. He has his name plastered on the side of
that word. Yes.
He has his name plastered on buildings in gold, and people don't like him very much.
Yeah,
so
say that and tell me that in his second term, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll have the same name recognition conversational. But you're right. Sometimes name recognition isn't a good thing, and we're hoping that's the case. And
so tell us why should somebody if there's going to be a Democratic primary, why should they vote for you rather than these other candidates? What do you bring to the table that's different, that's really different, Jake?
I hate to, this sounds cliche, but it's the outsider perspective. The fact that I'm not a career politician, that I'm not going in there to be back with my friends. that's honestly a lot of the time. It feels like, you know, hey, I want to get back in there. I'm not running because this is a game. I'm running because I'm trying to make people's lives better. This isn't a matter of, well, I lost my last election, so I need to get one back. I need to, you know, I know what I did wrong last time, and I'm going to win this time because I'm going to prove to APS that when they spend $4 million against me, that's not enough to keep me down.
Good. I like that.
It's the problem with a lot of career politicians is the fact that you get so embedded in the game of it. I told you, I was a sports reporter. One thing that really kind of drove me into deciding I needed to run for something, that I needed to get involved, was I transitioned from sports to being the politics reporter. And I had to sit there and watch the morning shows on Sunday, the Sunday morning talk shows, and listen to all the same sound bites coming from different people. But they all get their memos that tell them this is a phrase that we've workshopped and figured out that this gets a reaction from people, so this is what you need to say.
That's good, Jake. But I'll tell you, in 2017, the reporters also get their memos don't ask the questions.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is I started to recognize how much political reporting is just like sports reporting now. You're looking at when something happens like the tax bill, and it gets reported as this is a big win for Paul Ryan. It doesn't matter. They're talking about Paul Ryan and his dreams in college was that he would get to do this, and they treat it the same way as when a quarterback wins the Super Bowl. He's been having this dream for all these years. He woke up early to go to practice.
Good point. Good
point. No, let's talk about policy. Let's talk about how this actually affects real people instead of needing to keep access and putting these people out there as some kind of celebrities.
I hope you hang on to that.
We're going to be talking with a couple of people with strong economic and banking backgrounds about the new tax fraud bill. Now, I think we all know that next year they're going to have increased the deficit by over $1.5 trillion for no particularly great reason, except they want to reward their donors. They're going to claim next year they're going to cut your Social Security, folks, or if you're on Medicaid, people have to go off Medicaid. If you're younger than, 55, they're going to mess with your Medicare. Then this is the second shoe's going to drop next year on this stuff.
That's why Trump hasn't rushed to sign it, because he's trying to put it off until some of these things won't take effect, apparently, until after the midterms. So if he signed the bill right away, then some of these, especially the Medicare, 125 million or billion, I get the mems and the bees mixed up. I'm just not sophisticated enough.
Of the program for children's...
Once it gets up over around like $5,000, it's all just... all the same to me. I've never seen that much money in one place at a time. So
it doesn't matter
whether you have 60 million or 70 million.
Not only haven't we seen it, we can't imagine it.
Right.
We can't get our mind around $1 trillion. I used to put, somebody said, a wonderful writer, William Blum, said that our defense budget, our 1 year of our defense budget is $20,000 an hour every hour since Jesus Christ was born. Okay, I used to put on my board $1 billion, and I used to tell my students that would be. And I ask them how old their parent. It was $38,000 a minute for every year their parents were alive.
So Karen, here you are, you're leader of the local Democratic Party, and you got a guy like Jake running for office. What can you guys do for him, and what are the prospects for somebody like Jake running for office? Here he is running clean elections against some big money candidates next year. How's it shaping up, do you think?
Well, the prospect for all of this is the need for the grassroots campaign. You know, you've all read things about what's happened in Virginia. The legislators who flipped districts in the Virginia House of Legislation it was a grassroots campaign. There were some of those races money was spent in, some no money was spent in. But it's the candidates and the party and the volunteers getting out there and knocking on doors, telling their friends, making phone calls. So people realize, and you've got one vote in Virginia that's going to be decided on they're going to pull a name out of a film canister.
I hadn't heard that. I heard
they were tied, and they were going to actually use those old-fashioned film canisters to hold 35-millimeter film. They were going to put a candidate's name in each, put them in a hat, and someone's going to pull the film canister out, which, of course, nobody, like you mentioned before, nobody who's a millennial has ever seen a film canister.
Right. They don't even know what
they are. And it's never happened.
Parents used to keep their pot in it.
Happened in Virginia. They're still trying to. But there's a race
for
one.
What about the woman who won by one vote?
Well, this is the one vote. It now turns out it's tied. The last thing said it's tied. So, but that on that one vote determines whether the Virginia legislature is Republican or Democrat. So there's an office where every single vote mattered. Yeah. So it's a matter of telling the people who have given up, who got frustrated, the people like Mike who think we're already gone too far to turn around.
I'm making plans.
Yeah, to make to get all those people to turn out, and vote and
one
understand
vote
issues.
To zero to tie. How did it go?
A recount.
In part of the recount, they discovered one, I don't know, one ballot that was mishandled somewhere.
They challenged one ballot.
The point is, particularly for younger
every vote
listeners,
matters.
Every vote matters.
Every vote matters.
Here's the deal, guy. And I'm saying this after all these years as a broadcaster.
I want an astonishing talent.
That's right. What did Al Franken say? You know, a giant of the broadcasting thing. We got a candidate here, and we got a political leader here. There's only two. We already defined your jobs: name recognition and money. You got the clean elections and Jake Bell. Great. You got to get out the vote. That's the only job. Democrats of the Red Rocks, Democrats of the Verde Valley, every Maricopa County Democrat there ever was and ever will be, you got one stinking job, and that's get people to vote for Jake Bell.
So, Karen.
And everybody else on the ticket, not just Jake.
Jake can't do it alone.
We need
one
to.
One at a time.
That's one point that I make when I go out and I talk and people ask me, if you get elected as corporation commissioner, what are you going to do? And my answer is, well, if you elect me and you don't elect anyone else, then I'm not going to do a damn thing. Because I can't do anything alone.
You'd be walking to the cooler a lot.
Exactly. We need me and Kiana on there. We need Democrats in the state house. We need Democrats. We need a Democratic governor. We need in the state senate. We need Democrats up and down the board to be able to start to turn things around. You can't just do it with one election.
The enthusiasm for that is out there. I saw Jake 2 weeks ago. Maricopa County had a winter convention. And they had it in a high school auditorium, and there were more than 800 Democrats sitting in that room, which was
a nice change.
Listening for six hours to people speak, for 6 hours. All kinds of local and national candidates, national people, Gabby Giffords, Mark Kelly, Julian Castro, Greg Stanton, lots of other elected Democrats talk for 6 hours.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was great because everybody is standing up and yelling and screaming and stomping their feet.
And that's it.
And the energy is there. And those were mostly people who were precinct committee people in Maricopa County. That's not even their run-of-the-mill.
Exactly. I want to tell people that's what Democrats look like. You go to a Republican meeting. Here's the line. Here's what we're going to say. This is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to say. You're going to say. You're going to say. We're going to say these guys are bad. This is good. We're going to say small government and whatever they've been saying for 20 years. Martini's at 5.
Trickle down.
And that's Andrea Christel, another guest we've had on this show before. Runs a local philosophy organization. But the idea is, that's the assessment of Republicans. Democrats don't look that way. They talk for 6 hours. People say things. People disagree. And we like that, even though it costs us. We all, everything, Jake, you're going to hear, that you should be more like you're bringing a knife to a gunfight and all the other things that they tell, that I tell Democrats. But that, this is who we are. You're going to have different opinions and you're going to approach it differently. You're not going to do the same thing as Sandra Kennedy or Bill Mundell or the other fine lady.
I think the problem is we're just kind of, to me, to say to you all, we've only got a couple of minutes left, is that we're like in Arizona, we're like frozen in this Republican miasma, is that the right word?
Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah, and nothing is happening that brings the state forward. Our education is in decline. Our utility rates are going up because the utilities set the rates for themselves. I mean, it's a credible joke. So, Jake, 1 minute, last word. We do want to thank our sponsors, helpers, donors, Democrats of the Red Rocks. Karen,
yes. We have her here in the flesh, so we have to be really nice. Democrats of the Red Rocks have been long-time
supporters.
Steve Segner at El Portal.
And our many donors. We do appreciate the donations to Democratic Perspective.
We want to give a big hearty salute to Bill Timberman, whether he likes it or not, actually. We want to snap to. As a matter of fact, Bill wouldn't mind if we clicked our heels. He's a little bit of that bent, but we will say, Bill, thank you for all those years of support. If anybody else feels like supporting us, you can find ways to get us money, I'm sure. Okay, don't forget, you can find this podcast and all our podcasts at bbid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.